everyone.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Please join with me in our responsive call to worship that's found in your bulletins. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Lord, as we search now, let us find you. As we knock, open the door to us. Let us know you that we may praise you, and love you that we may serve you." Please join with me in prayer. Holy God, creator of life, you call us out of our dark places, offering us the grace of new life. When we see nothing but hopelessness, you surprise us with the breath of your Spirit. Call us out of our complacency and routines, and set us free from our self-imposed bonds, and fill us with your Spirit of life, compassion, and peace. In the name of Jesus, your anointed one, we pray as he taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Well, good morning. Welcome. Wherever you are on your faith journey, whoever you are always welcome here at Southport Congregational Church. The friendship registers are in the aisles, in the outside section of the pews. If you would sign those, and if you're new here or if you're visiting and you'd like us to drop you a note, just let us know, and someone will reach out to you this week. Obviously, Paul and Laura are away today and this weekend for well-deserved time together, so we're on our own up here. Forgive us if it's not as smooth as it normally is. Several announcements are in the bulletin. I'll just point out a few. The first is that we have a very special second hour today. So we'll be convening around 11:15 or so when people get in the library, grab a cup of coffee, grab something to eat, and join us. My friend, somebody who's very special in my life, is here with us today, and we'll be talking about her life journey. She spent 25 years in prison. I met her in the latter part of that, and we worked together to be able to tell her story and advocate for her release. And she's here with us by the grace of God. Please come. On February 28th, there's a really interesting program at the New Canaan Congregational Church that Denise Karen Quinn told us about. Today Show news anchor Savannah Guthrie will be discussing her new book, which is called Mostly What God Does. You have to register for that. Registration information is in your bulletins. We'll be continuing the Genesis Bible study. This is week 4 of that on Thursday in the library at 6 p.m. If you haven't come to the first three, join us anyway. It's not a problem. It's a great, engaging, and lively discussion, and it even gets a little chippy at times, which is kind of fun. Join us for that if you'd like. Don't be dissuaded by the fact that you haven't been at the first three. This season, believe it or not, the season of Lent, this week begins on Wednesday, February 14th. The chapel will be open for quiet meditation and prayer from 5 to 7. And one more, on February 18th, Sunday, February 18th, Scott Whitmore and his partner Matthew will be doing kirtan here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. That is a special and spiritual practice that I encourage you to join. So with that, where are we? Do we have a children's sermon next? Oh my goodness. What? Cherubs, 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 you see? Then children's sermon. That's awesome.
Think of your fellowness, let him a helping hand, put a love in your heart. You see it's getting late, oh please don't hesitate, put a love in your heart, and the world will be a better place, and the world will be a better place for you.
And now I would like to invite the children forward. I not only get to do the adult sermon, I get to do the children's sermon today. So come on up. All right. So last time I was up here was like several months ago, and I asked you guys if you knew who I was. Do you know who I am now? Not really. You still don't. What, let me ask you guys this. What are we celebrating this coming week? What? Black History Month. That's an idea. But how about just this week, not the whole month? Yeah. President's Day. Wow, Valentine's Day, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah, Valentine's Day. And what do we celebrate on Valentine's Day? Love, exactly. And what? It's also your birthday? Oh, fantastic. Wow, right on. You're ready for Valentine's Day. You've got your hearts on. And what is love? I know this is a deep philosophical and theological question, but what is love? What is, just give me something that comes to mind. What is love? Anything. How do you feel? Oh, go, please. Yeah. Happiness. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. Kindness. Right. Anyone? Yeah. Joy. Beautiful. How do you feel when you're with someone you love? Happy?
Happy.
Beautiful. Yeah. How do you feel when someone loves you? Joy, happiness, comfort. You see, this is why Jesus said we've got to become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. So the Apostle Paul in the Bible wrote, and this is some variation, I'll just kind of put my words to this, but the Apostle Paul wrote in the Bible, love is patient, love is kind. Love isn't jealous. Love doesn't brag. Love isn't rude. Love doesn't say things have to be done my way. Love isn't cranky. Those are my words. Those aren't Paul's words. Love hopes for good things. And love lasts a long time. Do we think Paul got it right?
Yes.
Yeah? Are those good words? Yeah? Is there someone here today who you love? Yeah. Them? Who are them? Mama and your sister? Yeah? Yeah?
My dad and my mom.
Beautiful.
Family.
Your whole family? Yeah.
My family.
Wonderful. Your parents and your brother?
My crazy dog.
Oh, he's here today? Is he here? Okay, your crazy dog, right? I mean, we do love our pets, yes. Her?
My sister, my dad, mom, and brother.
Is there someone here today who loves you? Yeah.
My sister.
Fantastic. Yeah? Your big sister loves you? Here's what I'd like you to do. Find somebody here who loves you and go tell them that you love them. All right? Go do that now, and then you can go out to church school. How's that? Go. Go do it. Go give them a big hug and tell them you love them.
Oh,
a time of prayer and meditation, I would ask that you keep the following people in your hearts and in your minds. Alan Wachter, who is a friend of Scott and Jessica Golden, who is undergoing treatment for ALS. May he feel the love and comfort of the ever-present God with him and in him. Continued prayers for Ginny Joliet and the whole Joliet family as they surround Ginny with their strength and love while she continues her cancer treatments and for the medical team that is caring for her. For others in our church family who continue to battle cancer, may they find grounding and strength in the presence of God. And prayers of thanksgiving for the successful heart surgery for Philip's father, Nemesio. Prayers with Nemesio for a rapid recovery. And prayers of thanksgiving for the strength of the Southport Congregational Church's volunteers who serve on our boards and our committees, in our choir and in our carousel, and step up to help our congregants and our community members in their times of need. May they feel our deepest and most heartfelt appreciation for the gifts that they give to us. Prayers of thanksgiving for our mission partners who invite us into their work that heals and restores our communities. May they feel our love and our appreciation for the work that they do, always uplifting us to inspirational heights. With those prayers and the reflections in your own hearts and minds, let us take a moment to be intentionally present with God. Infinite, timeless lover of humanity, we pray that each day we wake up, take a breath, and walk on your earth, that we remember that you are there with us and in us and around us, always growing and healing and restoring us. We pray that when we're down, we remind ourselves that you haven't left us. And we pray that when we're up, we remember your part in that joy. Let us remember that you remain there always in everything we do. And we pray that through that knowledge and understanding, that we're strengthened. And with that strength, we pray that we find ways to serve you through love of neighbor and love of the planet and love of your creation. Let us remember always to yield to you and the mysterious presence in our bodies, souls, and minds. And we thank you, God, for your everlasting love of your creation, which is evident through what you do to heal and restore and strengthen it. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, "Give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." In loving spirit, this morning's offering will now be received so that it might be shared again in service to God's creation. Please join with me in the unison prayer of dedication. Lord, we give you today what is already yours. You provide so much for us. Blessings pressed down, shaken together, running over. Thank you for giving us the ability to give and cheerful hearts to do it. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes, again, from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. And at this time, Paul is writing at the most painful time in his life during his mission work. He's been thrown in prison. His integrity is in question. I just envision him, as I read this letter, being like, what am I doing here? So let us hear God's word. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. The word of God for the people of God. So this letter to the Corinthians by the Apostle Paul has been called his most personal and impassioned letter. He had visited the church in Corinth, which had been very painful for him. And he's writing this letter expressing his anguish and his sorrow for many reasons. At that time, his authority and his integrity had been called into question. He was getting hammered at all sides, just to the point where, like, he just felt like he was in a deep depression. And he was questioning his own ability to continue the work. He'd been imprisoned and beaten and persecuted. He writes that he was afflicted in every way. Imagine how it must have felt for the disciples and the early Christians who were proclaiming everything that they believed was true and right, and they were being brutally persecuted for it by the Roman authorities. How did they maintain their hope? How did they maintain their strength to continue? I'm going to go out on a limb this morning and say that many of you have probably had experiences in life of loss or tragedy or learning some devastating news where you were questioning your very being, where you questioned everything that you thought to be true about your life and the world, where you were just caught in a state of despair that blocked out all of the joy in your life. I know I have, and I remember that feeling very well. Last week we heard Paul, not the Apostle Paul, Paul Whitmore, speak about, in his sermon, about hope. And I want to continue that theme this morning and talk about how we maintain our hope in times when we're suffering, when the rug gets pulled out from under us, when we're shaken to our core because we've lost something that's just foundational to our existence. It could be that we've lost a job, or we've lost our health, or we've lost a spouse, or a child, or our freedom, or our dignity. It could be that we've lost confidence in someone we looked up to, a mentor, a colleague, a parent, a spouse, or a friend. It could be that our integrity or honesty is called into question, like the Apostle Paul. Everyone faces this at one time or another, when something happens that just shakes you up, causing you to question everything you thought was true. You can't escape it. Now, the human experience can be one of great joy and love, but it would be exceedingly rare, I think you would agree, exceedingly rare for somebody to go through life without ever having to deal with an event that causes a crack in our foundation. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says that we have this treasure in clay jars. The clay jars he's talking about are our mortal exterior. Our exterior is fragile. It's like pottery. It's like clay. It doesn't take much to crack it or chip it or break it. But the treasure in that clay jar is the living God within us. Paul calls that living God in our fragile selves an extraordinary power. And it is. You'd think that something that powerful, that valuable, that extraordinary would be stored in something permanent, something more protective than a clay jar. But no. It's in the frail, temporary mortality of human life that it exists. And when all that we can see with our eyes are the cracks and the chips and the breakage in what is visible from the outside, we can lose sight of what's contained on the inside. That extraordinary power of the living God that remains. And when that happens, we have a tendency to question whether God has left us, abandoned us, forgotten about us, or worse, the utter misconception that God is punishing us. Now, I want to talk about the nature of this extraordinary power that I will call hope in those times of despair. Hope is something unique. It's not easy to pin down what it is or describe what hope is. I mean, if you ask most folks, especially today, they might tell you it's a desire for something to happen in the future. Like they might say, man, I hope the 49ers win the Super Bowl tonight. Or someone might say that hope is maintaining what's good, which would be the same as saying, I hope nothing bad happens. Like, I hope the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl tonight. I don't have a stake in this. I really don't. I'm more interested in the halftime show. Or you could hope for some improvement in something. Like, I hope this cold goes away before the Super Bowl tonight. So that's one kind of hope, looking into the future with a desire for some particular outcome. But I want to talk about a very different kind of hope. When tragedy strikes, when we're in pain, when we're under the control of a substance like food, drugs, or alcohol, when a relationship's falling apart or has fallen apart, when we're alone, when others are actively trying to hurt us, hope takes on a very different meaning in that context. In those times, the future is so hard to conceive of. It's so hard to conceptualize because in those times, we just get sucked into the depths of despair where we aren't able to think about the future. Our exterior, our clay jar, has been so broken or so cracked that all we can think about is whether it's even possible to repair it. Our vision beyond the present into the future is obstructed by the power of that pain and hopelessness, that we can't feel the extraordinary power of the living God within us. That pain has such a grip on us that we can't see beyond the present despair. So how do we maintain hope in those times? How do we think about that power within us that allows us to hang on, to carry on, to repair and restore that broken clay jar? We're going to hear some more about this in our second hour when my friend talks with us about what it's like to have your time and your space taken away from you for 25 years in prison. Time and space are just things we take for granted in life. If anyone had reason to lose hope and faith and get sucked into despair, she did. But the miraculous thing is that she didn't. And we don't either. It feels like we do, but I'm here to tell you that we don't. You think you lose hope, but you don't. And I'm going to prove it to you. Now, the first thing I want to say about that is that the living God is within each of you. It's within you from the minute you were born. You don't need to earn that. You don't need to do anything other than show up in life. That is the grace of God given to all. That's just a self-evident theological fact that I could prove, but I don't have time to do that. And there are some Yale Divinity students here today, and I don't want to get my theology wrong. But I'm going to come back to this at the end. Trevor's watching me back there. Now, the second thing I want to say is that I agree with Paul, the Apostle Paul. The living God within you is an extraordinary power that you can't even begin to conceive of, one that we can't put into words. And that power is what gives you the ability to hang on through the most extreme pain and suffering that you experience. It's the reason you wake up. It's the reason you breathe. It's the reason you walk. It's the reason you continue and you continue and you continue in the mundane repetition of life. The third thing I want to say about this living God within you is that there is nothing that has the power to beat it out of you. We definitely experience times when it feels like God has been beaten out of us, but God hasn't. And how do I know that? Because we do endure. We do hang on. We do repair, and we do heal. Now, there are times when folks don't. And I'm not making a judgment about that. That's just a deep theological topic that I can't get into this morning. Suffice it to say that the vast majority of folks do hang on. To be sure, that clay jar of our exterior, that clay jar that's visible to us, is never restored to its original condition. It gets glued back together. But there are still cracks and chips that are visible and remain forever. The scars of life lived in the human condition. But in those times, when all joy, when all comfort, when all security and everything that we have found up until that point has been life-giving, when all of that's been stripped away, there is one thing that remains, and that is hope. That kind of hope is the extraordinary power within each of us that allows us to carry on. And because we do hang on, I say, there is nothing that is powerful enough to remove it, to extract it from your being. In those times, hope is no longer the desire for something to happen in the future that's uncertain. In those times, hope is not about uncertainty. In those times, hope is actually the certainty of what is. Just look, you are hanging on. And what is that the living God is alive and working in you, and nothing, not you, not any situation, not any person, no matter how painful, can deprive you of God's gift of hope in you. Now, here's the good news. Are we supposed to give good news in a sermon? That's what they tell us at Yale. In fact, this is the best news of all this morning. That hope that remains in you in times of despair, it's not measurable, and while no person is going to be able to tell you how to muster it, doesn't require you to do anything. It's not something you get through willpower. It's not something you control. It's not something you get from a medical professional. It's not something you can pay for. Why not? Because it's a gift. I said I'd come back to this, and here's where I'm going to do that. It's like bobblehead night at Yankee Stadium. All you need to do is show up. Everyone gets one. Hope in times of despair is already in you. It's a gift from God. Accept the gift. It's handed out freely. Not because you deserve it, because everyone gets it. From the one who loves and embraces us no matter how bad you feel. Now, some of you may be saying, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like I'm loved and embraced. Exactly. That's my point. You won't feel it. You can't know it in the same way that you can know that awesome feeling of being with a human lover. But let me tell you something. It is as real as anything else that you know for sure. In the midst of the pain and the questioning, part of a faith life is knowing, despite all outward appearances of your clay jar, that the extraordinary power of God is alive and working in you. We know that not because it feels that way, not because we can prove it empirically. We know it because we can see it. We can see the result. We do endure. Let me leave you with this. Your clay jar, your visible exterior, your life that is visible to you and everyone else around you can never be reduced to only what you see. And so when you suffer, know that you are more than your pain, that the living God continues to work in you. In the immediate, just to allow you to hang on. And over the longer term, to heal and to continue. You belong to God. So long as that is true, God will continue to live and work and grow in you. Amen. And now, dear friends, as you go out into the world refreshed in the power of the Holy Spirit, know that the living God is within you, even though you can't see it and you can't feel it always. Know that God is there and that you are God's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.